That is a different style of eating, we will see. Radha left the kitchen, washed her hands and feet, and went to another room. Through a small window, Radha enjoyed Krishna's captivating darshan and started perspiring in ecstatic bliss. Yashoda thought that Radha was perspiring from the exertion of cooking, so she ordered some servants to fan her with a palm leaf. Does anyone of you remember? I'm trying to remember. Where was this little room?
Between the kitchen and Krishna's quarters.
In between the kitchen and Krishna's quarters. And this room was a resting room for Radharani. Is this true? Mm-hmm. Yeah? It was. Mm-hmm. Yashoda persuaded Radha to sit down and take the food brought by Rohini. Dhanishta followed Yashoda's order to serve Radha the food that she had previously secretly mixed with Krishna's remnants. Dhanishta followed Yashoda's order to serve Radha the food that she had previously secretly mixed with Krishna's remnants. Radhika bowed her head due to shyness, covered it with her sari, and declined to eat. Okay, she does not eat. Yashoda, abounding in motherly love, said, "Oh, my daughter, why are you so timid before me, who am just like your mother? I love you as much as I love my son. Please give up your bashfulness and comfort my burning eyes by eating happily before me." Yashoda called Lalita and the other Sakis. "Oh girls, you are all like my daughters. Why are you shy before me?" Yashoda, taking hundreds of oaths to make them eat, fed all the gopis a delightful feast, palatably seasoned with many sweet words. After the meal, the golden-complexioned Sakis washed their hands and mouths with camphor-scented water given by the servants. They dried their hands with soft towels and chewed betel mixed with camphor given by their friends. Yashoda intensely hankered to see Radha and Krishna united in marriage. Oh, here comes the secret. We hear something of Yashoda's mind. To express her desire, Yashoda had Dhanishta prepare a treasure chest for Radha. The chest was packed full of jeweled ornaments, exquisite garments, vermilion, betel nuts, and other gifts suitable for a newly married bride. Yashoda happily and lovingly presented the gifts to Radharani, honoring her as a newly acquired daughter-in-law surrounded by her girlfriends. So we know from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that this treasure chest by some wonderful playful nature of Krishna was emptied out by Krishna himself and put in another box, and he quickly jumped into the box and closed it. And when Abhimanyu came by, Yashoda said, "Here is a treasure chest with the most wonderful treasure inside. Give it to Radha." And Abhimanyu carried Krishna, who purposefully made himself heavier and heavier on every step of Abhimanyu, to Radharani. And later, the content which Krishna had put in another box was brought by Dhanishta to Radharani. So, Vishakha, unseen by Yashoda, returned Krishna's yellow silk garment to Dhanishta, who secretly handed it to Subal in exchange for Radha's blue cloth, which Dhanishta gave to Vishakha. I think you all remember that when Radha and Krishna separated in the morning, Krishna took the blue garment of Radharani and Radharani the yellow garment by mistake. So they exchanged their dresses. So here this is again exchange back. Good. So we will now go with Krishna and the cowherd boys into the forest. It's the Purvana Leela or forenoon pastimes, which take place from 8:24 a.m. to 10:48 a.m. And the introductory meditation is on Gauranga's Leela like this. While deeply remembering it, Gauranga reenacted the all-attractive forenoon pastime of Govinda, taking the cows to the forest with his friends, which caused immense anguish to the Brajavasis. As Gauranga immersed in Brajabhava, his hair stood erect, his golden body trembled and became stunned in euphoric joy. Tears flowed torrentially as Gauranga shared various ecstatic emotions with his confidential associates. May I always serve that Gaurachanta along with his associates who are ever drowning in waves of divine bliss. So basically Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is meditating about Krishna taking the cows out to the forest together with his friends, and as he does so, Gaurachanda sheds torrents of tears. So for Krishna, meditation, the Mula Sutra goes like this. Every morning, Krishna and the cowherd boys took the cows to the forest. Due to intense parental love, Nanda, Yashoda and the other Brajavasis followed them. Krishna left the cows and boys at Govardhan and secretly went to Radhakund to search for Radhika. Radharani watched Krishna leave Nandagram with his cows. She then returned home to Yavat and went to perform Surya Puja on Jatila's order. But before departing, Radha anxiously looked down the road for her messenger to return with news of Krishna's whereabouts. May we always remember Radha Govinda's forenoon pastimes. Mm-hmm. Yes, this messenger is usually a manjari, I'm sorry, who is commuting or walking from Krishna with a sandesh. Sandesh can mean a message, a flower-like message, where Krishna indicates the meeting place. That's a place to which Krishna goes from Govardhan and to which he invites Radharani to come from Yavat. Krishna's dressing and meeting his friends. This is how the forenoon starts for Krishna. He gets again dressed for the forest. Krishna's handsome cowherd boyfriends, please say these names, they will purify you. Devaprastha. Vavutapa. Angshu. Subal and Shridam. Then is a strong group leader, Vishal, Vrishabha, Stoka Krishna, and Arjuna. So all these boys resembled Krishna in age and qualities, and all gathered in Nanda's courtyard, desiring to meet Krishna and accompany him to the forest. Having already bathed, cleansed their bodies, and eaten sumptuously, all the boys looked robust and radiant. Freshly bathed, and they have eaten enough, and their bodies are cleansed. They sported peacock feathers in their top knots and held flutes, sticks, and ropes for tying the calves. Fruits and flowers, colored clay, ankle bells, and gunja berries ornamented their transcendental bodies. Now I wanted to tell you, when it says colored clay, it means there are minerals in Giriraj and also some other mountains in Braj, and these colored minerals are taken, they are diluted a little bit with water, and then the mothers make some nice ornaments on the bodies of Krishna and the cowherd boys. It's not that they, this is what I sometimes thought ignorantly, that they take the minerals and then just, you know, put it on their bodies. This is what I did when I was a little boy. I took mud and rubbed it for ornamentation. But I heard it didn't look very attractive. So they are really, it's painstakingly painted, these ornaments. Fruits, yes. Then there are ankle bells and gunja berries and everything. The excited cowherd boys called out to Krishna, "Hey Sakka, all glories to you. Now wake up and let us go play in the forest." Krishna heard his friend's appeal and rose from bed. Rubbing his lotus eyes, Krishna discarded, it means left, his sleeping clothes. Krishna bathed and dressed suitably for playing in the forest and herding the calves. Some expert servants, their happy hearts overflowing with devotion, attentively rubbed scented oil on Krishna's body and adorned him with exquisite new cloth, ornaments, flowers, and garlands. They applied Krishna's special tilak named Bhakti Cheda. Oh, I didn't know this is a special tilak. Bhakti Cheda. I don't know. Cheda, no, it doesn't even sound familiar to anything. I'm very sorry. Bhakti, of course, but Bhakti Cheda? No, it's with double C. C-C-H-E-D-R. It'd be interesting to find this out. This is from Govinda Lilamrita. They smeared Krishna's limbs with musk, saffron, and sandalwood paste, and drew pictures on his body with multicolored mineral pigments. Achai. Here the servants do it. They set a peacock feather crown on Krishna's head and slipped on his finger rings, including a unique signet ring inscribed with the name Krishna. Signet is a ring, you know, you have also signet rings in Europe. It has the name, and then you put some lac, then you put the ring, and make your signature so Krishna can leave his holy name everywhere. Wonderful. Makara Kundala earrings hung from Syama's ears. Who knows what the Makara Kundala earrings look like?
Dolphin.
Yes. They hung from Syama's ears, and necklaces of Gunja, jewels, the Kostuba gem, and a Vaijajanti garland beautified Krishna's broad chest. They put bracelets and armbands on Krishna's wrists, and attractively tinkling ankle bells on his feet. On his chest was a necklace of large glossy pearls, in which Krishna alone could behold the reflected image of Radhika. Acha, just see the power of these best of pearls. They reflect the image of Radharani. They do a glorious service. You must agree, these pearls are the best of servants. Syama's jewel-studded flute was tucked under the right side of his sash, and his buffalo horn bugle was tucked in the left side. Krishna held a yellow lagudi. What is a lagudi? It's a straight cow herding stick in his left hand. Must love this. He held a yellow lagudi. Sometimes it's also said his lagudi is red. It is, there's this red silk bound over it, and then little golden, you know, like a spiral. So here we hear he uses a yellow lagudi in his left hand, and he twirled a play lotus flower in his right hand to enchant the minds of the Braja gopis. Syama wore a most attractive iridescent means it shines, peacock feather, and a string of shiny red gunja berries in his top knot. Just imagine this peacock feather coming out, and then shiny red gunja berries over his top knot. I mean, this is really amazing. Amazing. Sapphire earrings and clusters of punaga flowers adorned his ears. Necklaces of pearls and gunja berries hung on his broad chest. Thus attired in yellow cloth and a variety of ornaments, Krishna looked marvelous as he prepared to enter the forest. Balaram, whose beautiful body was as white as a snow-capped mountain, had unguents smeared on his form. This is like something, you know, unguents are like, you smear it on the body, it has colors, it is different colors, and there is a fragrance in them. So these are unguents. Krishna Balaram had unguents smeared on his form, a peacock feather jutting from his top knot, and armlets and bracelets of gold and jewels on his arms. He donned means he dressed in a blue dhoti and held a horn and stick in his hands as he met his companions. So we will now hear, they now will leave through a gate There is a gate to Vrindavan village, and you have to go through it to enter the forest, or to come from the forest into the village. It is sometimes locked, the gate. And we hear now that Krishna is going into the forest. I mean, it's a huge affair. There are many things which Krishna needs for his forest play. And you will be surprised when you hear that it's like a whole procession, you know, with different items. Raktak, Patrak, and other loyal servants whose love for Krishna never decreases and who were expert attending Krishna's needs approached Krishna's mother. Yashoda gave one servant some modaka sweets for Krishna to eat later. The sweets were like a string of fruits on the creeper of Yashoda's motherly affection. The attendant secured the sweets, which he considered more precious than billions of his lives. So he puts these sweets, which are so precious because they're meant to give pleasure to Krishna, in a jewel-studded wooden box which hangs from his shoulder. You know, there's a special sweet box which this servant carries, which is made of wood and covered with jewels. Another servant carried an artistically designated flask. Flask is like a thermos, made of moonstone, which was filled with camphor-scented drinking water and covered with a soft red cloth. Just imagine this beautiful, you know, flask, which is made of white moonstone, but covered with this nice soft red cloth. It's for Krishna's drinking water. As he carried the white flask covered by the red cloth, it appeared that he was showing everyone his pure liquefied mind, colored by his internal attraction to the Lord. You know, the white moon flask is the pure mind, and the red cloth is his internal attraction for the Lord. And this is always colored red. One servant attentively held a round crystal box filled with pan. Seeing his intense concentration on that container, one would think he was carrying the moon, the Lord of the mind, in that container. For serving the prince of Vrindavan, another boy carried many types of ornaments and clothing, which were like magic herbs to subjugate the young damsels of Braja. Fantastic. So we can see all these servants are extremely attentive to their particular sweets, drinking water, and now all types of ornaments and clothing. Because on the order of Nanda and Yashoda, the young affectionate cowherd boys carried Krishna's cloth and ornaments for changing dress later in the day. You know, what if Krishna takes a bath in the river? He needs new cloth after this, because he jumps with his cloth in the river. They walk behind Krishna in a jolly mood. They also brought boxes of tambula and jeweled inlaid water jugs. Krishna, decorated with splendid ornaments and festive attire, removed the affliction of the Brajavasis and inundated the area of his mother with a flood. You know, this flood came from Yashoda's tear and the milk flowing spontaneously from her breasts. So he was so festive, so nicely ornamented, and he stood full of bliss before the town gate. Now we will just end by reading how the gopis respond to Krishna's leaving. When the heralds proclaimed Krishna's departure, the Braja gopis heard it and responded in various ways within their houses according to their qualifications. See, the heralds which go with drums. Krishna leaves, everyone take notice, Krishna leaves to the forest. One gopi told another, "Oh, expert friend, make me happy by devising some trick to deceive my mother-in-law. I'm rushing off to the secret forest path leading to the cottage in the trysting kunja." Trysting is the meeting place. Another blissful Sakhi said, "Oh, Sakhi, what shall I do now? Hearing the announcement from the town gate about Krishna's departure, I have become intensely eager to see him. However, I cannot climb the watchtower because my legs are stunned in ecstasy." This is the ecstatic problem. The legs won't climb the watchtower any longer. While getting dressed, another Sakhi said, "Oh, Sakhi, what is the use of styling my hair? Let my breasts remain uncovered. If I cannot see Madhava just once, let me perish." So one Sakhi, one girlfriend, is helping another Sakhi to get ready to meet Krishna. But this Sakhi who's attended to gets so restless that she wants to go immediately without finishing her decoration. A Sakhi trapped inside her home by her relative said, "Oh, such is my fate. Let my husband punish me with unbearable pain. I do not care if my elders see me. Today I'm going to Krishna because he will not remain in the forest for long." One other Sakhi, restrained by her mother-in-law, said, "Oh, ugly woman, why are you screaming? Am I the only one going out of her house? Just open your eyes and look. Which young bride is not leaving her home? And which mother-in-law is there to stop her? Let me go, don't scream at me." These are the gopis they want to follow Krishna. Oh, this is so nice. We have to just a little taste, one paragraph, going to the forest. As Krishna strolled down the road, the celestial demigods honored him with showers of fragrant flowers. The young damsels of Braja worshipped Krishna from their windows with the petals of their lotus eyes. And the toddlers, these are little babies, 3 years old, on the roadside, respected Krishna by saying "Jai Jai" in soft, indistinct voices. The village elders standing in their doorways blessed Krishna by raising their right palms. "May you be blessed." But more we cannot read now. What else happens, we will hear tomorrow. My God, a lot of nectar is coming. Especially Yashoda's instructions to Krishna, what he should do and what he should not do in the forest. So, what do we remember?
always written that there is a jolly mood, that they are full of joy when they go out.
Every saga have his seva to do, and he does it perfectly. I don't know where they learned it, but if you just hear where the water is carried and how much love that there is in the seva they do it, this is really amazing.
They're so attentive. Mm. It seems they are carrying the... What was it they're carrying there?
A moonstone made...
No, but it was a...
With the red...
It was the camphor water, huh? In this...
Camphor water, yeah, and it was... The bottle was some... Not bottle, what is it?
The jar or the...
Bottle.
Yeah.
Made from moonstone and a red cloth over it.
Over it, so that the dust might come inside. And it seems he showed everyone his mind colored with his internal attraction to Krishna. Well, they had such a concentration when they carried these containers that one would think they were carrying the moon, you know. Imagine if you carry the moon, how much concentrated you are. They really took it serious.
I was just thinking also in that same context how so many servants are there to do some very teeny small service. One is just doing this and the other doing that. And I was feeling amazing how Krishna is accepting the love of everyone and how actually he allow himself to be served. I was thinking, I mean, of course, how can I compare myself? But I was thinking, with so many people around wanting to do service, I would feel like, oh, let me be a little more in alone. But Krishna accepts the service attitude, the bhava of every single servant, and therefore he can receive from so many servants.
We have to pay attention to the fact that it's not that, you know, there no one gets on another person's nerves, nor do they have weak nerves, you know, or weak minds, you know. It's all love and so on. Only when Yatila, you know, that's too much. Yatila gets on everyone's nerves, but. But it's very important that our comparisons stop, you know, at a certain border. The spiritual world is... I'm saying this because Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point both in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita.
And
Bhajan Dapada, Dapana, that is a commentary to Mana Shiksha, that when we think of the spiritual world, it's really important. I mean, he really stresses this very much. To know it's completely beyond the material world. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when it says in the scriptures the devotees are lazy, it doesn't mean that they are inactive. It means they don't act on the material platform. In other words, words carry a different meaning also. Also in Raj Riti Chintamani, that's the book which you gave me for my last birthday, I think, last birthday. There it says also that that the words in Goloka Vrindavan carry different meanings. And this is done So that the total otherworldliness of Goloka Vrindavan is pointed out. So, yes, but still your point is wonderful, that Krishna accepts so much servants there. I mean, there are two servants who are just in charge of carrying his flutes, you know. Different flutes which he plays, you know, for different occasions. So he, everyone serves him.
In the beginning, this point when Mother Yashoda asked the minister to give the food to Radharani and to Sakis. And she had secretly mixed Krishna's remnants inside. And how the Sakis were so shy to, I mean, it's not the etiquette to eat in front of the elders, but Mother Yashoda forced them to do this, and it's just such a nice mood, you know.
She gave,
so loving.
She gave hundreds of oaths to make them eat.
And then I liked this. And I just remember this, Krishna has this pearl necklace which gives the image of Radharani. And then in the end I was thinking, when Krishna leaves and how all the ladies of the Vrindavan, they are responding according to their qualification. And I was thinking, oh, this is such a point, you know, like that we all respond to Krishna according to Krishna's, when we hear the katha, and so we also, everybody responds according to our qualification. I'm saying, when we will be in this level, that whenever we hear about Krishna, we just leave everything and run.
I like so much how everything is so natural and it just flows. How Yashoda unpacks ornaments, garments, betel leaves, and different items for Radharani. It just feels, oh, she's so much like fitting because she's my daughter-in-law. And it's such a natural feeling she has. Or how Krishna, when he gets up, he rubs his eyes and get up. Or how the bridge passes and Krishna go out, the elderly, they bless him. Also, it's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I think they have some natural love that is not hindered. Or it's so
beautiful. Yeah. You can see them standing next to the road. Blessings. I like Krishna's ring with the Krishna thing, the signature.
Krishna's ring, and I know he has also rings with the name of Radha on them. And Radha has rings with the name of Krishna on it. It reminds them of each other. Fantastic. Ja, gut. This is very nice. This going into the forest, this Leela is, I like it very much. This Leela I like because it's so playful, and you can just, everyone is so absolutely attracted to Krishna, and this one Saki is so heavy with her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, you ugly woman, why are you screaming at me? Am I the only one going out of her house? Just open your eyes and look around. Which young bride of Braj is not leaving her home? And which mother-in-law is there to stop her? Just let me go, you know. I've never heard. I mean, I know this shloka is well known to me, but I think it's the only shloka which I remember at the moment, at least, where once Sakhi is just expressing her protest so much, you know, let me go, what is wrong? I'm going to Krishna and no one is going to stop me, bus. Krishna. No, everyone is just, and wait, what happens when they go into the forest? How the Vrinda Devi is already ready. She knows Krishna will come now to make Krishna really feel very, very much welcome in the forest. She has different animals, you know, running towards Krishna to greet him, you know, and jumping up and down and just being so happy. You came, finally you came. You were a little delayed, weren't you? So on. Like this very much. Okay, so tomorrow we will continue. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.